Isaiah chapter 36 we want to look at here today. I love to go back to some of these old stories of victory. I like to revisit them and look at victory again and again, because I believe it's got some amazing instruction for us and encouragement that if God did the work thousands of years ago, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, I'm thankful that he can minister victory to us today. It may not be the same type of battle. It may not be the same circumstances, but I'm thankful the Lord is able to bring to our situations his victory, his power, and his blessing. Thank God. Would you stand with me? Isaiah 36, we'll begin at verse 13. I'll read, and then you will read the following verse, okay? And we'll go back and forth like that until we get the setting of this story of deliverance that the Lord brought to the people of Israel. Isaiah 36, verse 13. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, "Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria." You read 14. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, "The Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria." Read 16. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. And you read 18. Notice in this passage how the words deliverance and delivered and so on are shared several times. But yet the message of Rabshakeh is, don't be deceived. That's not going to happen. You're not going to be delivered. You're not going to be spared. And so we look at this concept that he is trying to get across, deception or deliverance. Deception or deliverance. And we have an enemy, the enemy of our souls today, that is going to attempt the same concept, the same message. His deception is going to try to deny you deliverance. And oh, thank God, we've experienced deliverance too many times to doubt our God. But yet in our human circumstances, in our times of pain and confusion and questioning, we sometimes wonder, God, where are you? And, oh, I'm thankful he shows up. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. So glad you're here. Joseph, it's good to have you here. Up visiting from Texas and here for a few more weeks, but we're glad he's here in the house of the Lord. Praise God. All these stories of victory. We can read through the bread program and get into Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and so on, and the other prophets. And sometimes it gets a little confusing as to what the message is that's coming across. But in this instance, Isaiah 36 and 37, there's very much a problem and a dilemma for the people of God, and very much a threat of annihilation and destruction, but yet a deliverance that comes from God. Thank the Lord for the end of the story that we can look at. The devastation and despair were very real for Hezekiah and the people of Judah. The desperation and prayer that they exhibited as they waited upon the Lord and heard from God was exemplary. And thank the Lord, we know the end of the story. There was deliverance. The king and the prophet were united together to receive from the Lord. The people joined in prayer and divine power was displayed. But let's move into this situation, into this story, to try to grasp some of the human aspects of the threat and the fear and the concern that they had because of a strong army that was threatening annihilation. Now, Rabshakeh is the spokesman for King Sennacherib. And it's significant that he was the spokesman because he could speak Hebrew. I think that's interesting that he could speak the Assyrian language, and then he changed to Hebrew so that all of the people who were hearing his words would be able to grasp the meaning of how they needed to succumb, they needed to acquiesce to what he was demanding. And things would work out well for you if you surrender to us, if you go along with our plan. But it's not going to be good if you fight against us. He made sure that they did not allow themselves to be deceived concerning this idea of deliverance. Let not Hezekiah deceive you, he said. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Hearken not to Hezekiah. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you. It's very clear what he's attempting to do. There's not going to be deliverance. Hezekiah can't deliver you. He went even so far in a letter that he wrote and had delivered to Hezekiah. He went even so far as to say, God's not going to deliver you. He said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you into thinking you can say the Lord will surely deliver us. The Lord will deliver us. He went through a litany, a list of those kings and gods that could not deliver. He said, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his hand out of the hand of the king of Assyria? All fell before the army of Assyria. And he even boasts in chapter 37, verse 10, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee. Boy, he's really gone over the line now. And saying God is a God who will deceive. God is a God who will hold out an answer, as it were, and then jerk it back, and there's nothing there. God is a God who would have his promises be as a bubble that would float on the breeze for a little while and then burst and be nothing. Let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. He was so determined to deliver the message, there will be no deliverance. But again, we know the end of the story. We can turn to the end of the next chapter and know it had completely reversed because of God being able to show forth his hand. But look at his deception. Look at how he's holding out an agreement to the people of Israel. We'll take you away to a land like your land. It's not going to be so different. You're not going to be shortchanged, as it were. You're not going to suffer as a result. Everyone will have his own vine. Everyone will have their own fig tree. You'll have your own cistern. You'll be able to drink waters and so on. It'll be a land of corn and wine. It'll be a land of bread and vineyards. Sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty inviting. Sounds like a great compromise. Death or going to this land? Well, we know the devil never delivers in the way that he tempts, the way that he offers, the way that he says. It never happens that way. You see the ads and see the generally it's young people who are having a great time. I'm reaching way back to the old times now of Marlboro Man. But Marlboro Man died of cancer. And that's they never show that part of the ad. You know, they never show the party and then the devastation that may come afterwards with a drunken driver and a terrible accident and all that sort of thing. No, they show the glamour, they show the fun, they show the excitement. Well, this is what Hezekiah was hearing from Rabshakeh, Everything's going to be good. You're going to be in your own place. You're going to have your own situation and so on. But the dilemma of Hezekiah and the Hebrews was that all was at stake for them and for their nation, and they needed to hear from their God. And thank God that they did. The application for us today is to understand what is at stake when the devil comes with his deception, when the devil offers his compromise, when the devil brings his temptations and says, you don't have to walk in that aspect of obedience to the Word of God. You don't have to have a life of separation, holiness, and godliness. You don't have to be so stringent and so strict. And he makes his deception about deliverance. But make no mistake, we are in a spiritual battle today. Make no mistake, there is a deception at hand, and there is a denial of deliverance that the enemy would make, and so you might as well give in, you might as well give up, you might as well go along. And oh, we serve the same God who is able to bring deliverance, who is able to bring power, able to bring strength, and able to minister to you in the fulfillment of his word. Amen. In the power of his spirit. But we know Satan is the Lord of lies. The media make a big deal out of the Lord of the flies. Well, he's the Lord of lies. John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of those lies. So we look at the beginning. And we know that the deception that he was able to bring not only to himself but to the angelic mass and host as well. He deceived himself. I will ascend unto the Most High. I will ascend to the throne. I will. Those five I wills that are recorded in the Word of God have been described as the shortest definition of sin. My will against the will of God. The angels being deceived, Eve being deceived, you shall not surely die. The Lord knows that you're going to be like him. And so he goes with his smooth delivery and his words as though to describe how God is holding back from blessing you with knowledge of good and evil. Well, we know how that turned out. So there's no truth in him. He abode not in the truth. There's no truth that he could lay claim to. And moreover, he opposes the truth. Because Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank God for the creative power of our God who spoke the worlds into existence, hung the earth upon nothing, and helped us to understand how great and how awesome his creative powers. Truth is what will bring into being that creative aspect of God showing his power to make us a new creature. Praise God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Thank God that he's able to do that kind of work. But not only does he affect the creation of mankind with his lies, he tries to put that in our being, in our nature, in ourself. What is deceitful above all things? What is desperately wicked? We might answer that question with many other aspects than what the Word of God would give us the description of. Many things today would fit in that category. Like perhaps we could say, okay, drugs, legal or illegal. We can say they are deceitful and they are desperately wicked because of the results that they bring. The internet, we might say that's deceitful above all things. That's desperately wicked because of all of the bad things that can come as a result of it, ignoring the good things. But we know the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It almost sounds like Jeremiah is hopeless. Jeremiah is delivering something that he and others could weep about. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And all of the discouragement and the situations that he faced. But he's declaring here to help us to understand, you can't put your trust in your own heart. You can't put your trust in yourself. There's got to be something more eternal, more solid, more foundational that you put your trust and your faith in. And thank God, it's His Word. His Word is what we can trust and put our faith in. God knows our heart. The Bible says in the very next verse, Jeremiah 17 and 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Thank God that the Lord will bring a reward for the righteous. There is a reward for the wicked as well. And we know there's going to be consequences of disobedience and obedience to the Word of God. And thank the Lord, we can determine in our hearts, I'm going to follow the Lord in obedience. And so James in his practicality, James in his direct approach to understanding the Word of God would declare, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. We might hear that and say, what? What does that mean? All this superfluity of naughtiness and filthiness and so on. Okay, let me read it from a modern English type rendering. Here's what James is saying. Get rid of all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside, and humbly be glad for the wonderful message we have received, for it is able to save your souls as it takes hold of our hearts. That's pretty plain, isn't it? All right, we can grab that. Get rid of what's wrong, grab a hold of what's right, apply it to your life, let it take hold of your heart, and be thankful for the change that God brings in your life. Amen. And so James, in his practicality, would go on in the very next verse and say, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. And then he adds a real significant phrase there that needs to sink into our hearts. He says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, that deceit can come to ourselves because of the influence of Satan, because of denial of the Word of God, because of a desire to deceive. And that deception can come from within ourselves. And that's why it's so necessary to follow the Word of God, not our own will. Follow Scripture, not ourselves. Amen. And doing what the Word of God desires to do. Satan's deceiving ways are going to end in a destiny that we don't want to share. Revelation 12 describes how there will be a war in heaven. The devil prevailed not. There was no place in heaven found for him. I like verse 9 in particular. The devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Oh, I like the emphasis that the Word of God lets us know about him being cast out. In verse 10, he is cast down. In 20 and 10, he is cast into the lake of fire. Thank God we don't have to share in that deception of the devil and his deceit that he would try to bring in that eternal destiny where he is going to be cast out, cast down, and cast into the lake of fire. I don't have to follow his temptations and his lies. Why would I want to listen to a loser? Amen. I'm going to follow the Word of God. I'm going to follow the Lord of truth. Amen. And know the deliverance that He has available for us. Thank God the Lord can bring deliverance regardless of its demons or if it's debauchery or if it's death. Amen. Thank God that He can bring forth His power and His blessing. Amen. That poor little boy who was thrown into the fire and into the water, and that desperate dad brought him to the disciples and prayed for the demons to be cast out, and they couldn't, but they brought him to the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus took care of the need. The man from Gadara who was delivered as well. Thank God my Lord has dominion over demons. My Lord can bring deliverance no matter what the situation. That poor woman who was caught in adultery, and God would, the Lord would deliver her from stoning and then deliver her from sin as well, as He would declare, sin no more. He didn't give her a pass to continue living that the way she was. No, he brought forth the command, sin no more. Moreover, he gave her power to return not to her old lifestyle, but to a new life. Praise God, because of the deliverance and redemption and compassion that our Lord would bring forth. Amen. Death being reversed with a 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, the widow's son, Lazarus. Oh, my God knows how to bring deliverance. Amen. Today's drug culture is so sad to see the captivity and the affliction that comes as a result of the addictions. You read the story of Andy Nyman and the alcohol that he partook of as a young man, and then marijuana, and then heroin, and then cocaine, as he, the slide in his life, as he details it in his book, is so heartrending. It's so so disappointing. And how, in his own words, he would look at the bums on Skid Row in Vancouver and laugh and say, we'll never be like them. We'll never act like that. Well, that's not how we're going to live. They were feeling like they were in an upper level, but we know the story. It soon Andy Nyman found himself living under a bridge in Vancouver, BC. But oh, thank God, that's not the end of the story. Thank God we know him today as Pastor Nyman. We know him today as someone who has a degree in counseling, because God turned his life around and brought him into a place of deliverance. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Every time you see Brother Nyman, you see someone who has been delivered from the drug culture that would try to capture somebody and pull them down to a place of destruction. But oh, my God knows how to bring deliverance. Amen. Pastor Yaden says he's, you look at Brother Andy and he's a country song in reverse. Praise God. He gets his dog back, gets his truck back, gets his wife back, gets his teeth back. Praise God. Oh, yeah, Brother Yaden can make a joke out of it and we laugh. But oh, I'm thankful that Brother Yaden had prayed and believed that God would make a change in Andy Nyman's life. And there, that is that change. Praise God. Now, speaking of change is going to come, whether it's positive or whether it's negative. And we know the negative aspects of the drug culture. We know the negative aspects of self and the flesh and the world, the devil, all of those things. Change comes. But oh, I'm thankful for the power of the Lord that brings a positive change. Amen. The deceit of the devil will bring debauchery. It will bring disease. It'll bring divorce. I remember reading in the newspaper, the Anchorage paper, that showed a decline of a woman who was caught in drugs. And she tells her story, and she's very brave in describing some of the things that happened to her. She said, just like Brother Nyman making that statement, we'll not be like that. That's not how we're going to live. That's not how we're going to look. She determined that that was not how she was going to live. She was not going to sell herself to get drugs and so on. But the story describes how that she soon stepped into that lifestyle. But she tried to put boundaries and say, I'm not going to with a stranger. I'm not. And how drugs continued to lead her down and down and down until finally she was at the very bottom. But oh, I'm thankful that the Lord can make a difference regardless of what it is, demons and even death. I'm thankful that change comes by divine deliverance. Amen. If anyone could desire change, it would be Job. If anyone had experienced drastic change, it would be Job. And yet he declares in 14 and 14 of the book that bears his name, if a man die, shall he live again. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Praise God. Oh, yes. He had his faith in the Lord. He had his faith and trust in the one who could bring deliverance. I'm thankful that God can bring deliverance from self and from Satan. We can be born again. We can know the power of water and spirit. Amen. Not just because it's a ritual, not because it's a ceremony, but because of the power of the name of Jesus and the blessing of the Spirit of God that can bring deliverance into our hearts and lives. Amen. And Colossians 1 and 13 would declare we are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His Son. Praise God. I'm thankful that the power of darkness doesn't have to hold us down, but we can walk in the light even as He is in the light and have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Oh, thank God for the power of the Lord. And yes, we wrestle against the darkness of this world today. That's the battle that we're involved in. But thank God for the victory that He brings. Let's go back to the end of the story. Is it deception or deliverance? We know it's deliverance. We know Rabshakeh, Sennacherib, and company were diverted to another battle. And Rabshakeh sent messengers with a letter to Hezekiah repeating his threats and destruction. But divine direction came from the hand of God. Isaiah had a message for Hezekiah as well that described, "Don't fear, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." Amen. The Lord's not going to remain silent. The Lord's not just going to sit by and let it happen. No, He's going to take care of that threat. The Lord would say, "Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." Amen. Sennacherib didn't know his days were numbered in that regard. He probably thought, "I'm going to go take care of this little uprising. Then I'm going to come back to this little place called Jerusalem, and I'm going to take over. That beautiful temple and all of its trappings of gold and so on are going to be mine, and these people are going to be my slaves." He probably thought he had it all figured out, but God declared he was going to fall by the sword in his own land, and it was going to happen in just a few days. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord would bring victory with just one angel being dispatched into the Assyrian army and 185,000 of Sennacherib's army slain. Amen. And oh, I'm thankful that I can remember in the Word of God, one angel has the key to the bottomless pit. One angel has a chain that he's going to wrap up the old devil in and cast him into that bottomless pit. Well, he'll be shut up for 1,000 years. Thank God for the power of God that's going to bring the deliverance for you and I. King Sennacherib, probably on his way to the temple of his idol, Nisroch, probably going in there to pray, to offer sacrifice, to wonder, "What happened? How come I've been reversed? Why does my army lie in devastation?" He's in there worshiping before his idol, and he is killed by his own sons. Oh, God knows how to bring deliverance. Amen. Deliverance from deception, where you can deny the devil and his lies. You can trust the truth of Jesus. You can battle for you and your children's eternal destiny. Amen. Thank God the promises to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm going to hold on to that promise. I'm going to believe God for that harvest. I'm going to trust the Lord for that work to be done. Praise God. And I'm going to hear Jesus say, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Praise God. Oh, yes, tribulation in this world. And we experience it. We know it firsthand. But thank God we can hear the one who has overcome. We can hear the one who is victor declaring, "Be of good cheer." Praise God. Amen. And then we turn to the end of the book, to the very last chapter, the very last book, Revelation. And we hear him declaring, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Amen. Not going to be deception. It's deliverance. deliverance. Praise God. Amen. Deny that deception and grab a hold of the deliverance that God extends to us and walk in that liberty. Praise God. Stand with me now, please. Oh, thank the Lord that we can know Him as wonderful. We know Him as Counselor. We know Him as the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Praise God. And He's the one who is able to do that work for you and I. He's the one who's able to bring that deliverance. He's the one who's able to provide the means for us to walk in liberty and in truth. Praise God. Amen. And He has never weakened. He's never lost a battle. Thank the Lord, and we can step into that realm of victory just as we read it again and again into the Word of the Lord. Yes, there are failings. Yes, there are those who fall short. Yes, there are those who turn the wrong way. And they are examples to us of what not to do so that we could receive the blessing that God has for us. And oh, thank God, again and again, there's deliverance. There's divine power. There's the display of His great compassion. And we can reach out and receive it as well. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful for the living reality of what God has done. Praise God. Praise God. Remember the little skit that our young people did some years back? Becca was being tempted by different things that were being offered to her. Her white gown could become smudged and dirty by it. And she was beaten down in the skit, falling to her knees, almost in defeat. But Paul, being the image of Jesus, who would hover over her and protect her as those with the temptations tried to hammer at her. And that went on for a little while until finally Paul, as Jesus, would stand up erect and throw his arms out as though he was showing the power of the cross and those with the temptations flying off. You remember that skit? How powerful. Amen. But oh, thank God, we know the reality. It's not just a play. It's not just something that is shown. It's a reality. We've had the Lord stand up and show the power of the cross and the deliverance that comes as a result. We know the covering of His compassion and His love to protect us from temptations that hammer at us and how we're able to make the right choice at the right time, so that we could have the deliverance that the Lord has for us. Amen. Thank God for the reality of what our God can do. Amen. Let's come and have a time of prayer here today. Let's seek the face of our God. Let's determine that the voice of victory is going to be heard in our hearts and in our minds, and we're going to be able to do the work of God and follow after Him today and serve Him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. That's what He desires. That's what He wants. That's what He paid for. That's how He's provided. Thank God that we can know His goodness and His blessing today. Oh, yes. Don't be deceived. Make no mistake. You're in a battle for your eternal soul. You're in a war right now that requires spiritual warfare to be engaged. Not only for you, but for your family, for your marriage, for your children. A spiritual battle that we've got to be able to hear the voice of the one who brings victory, to follow the spirit of the one who is able to provide for us the winning margin. Thank God that we put our trust in Him. Let's reach out to Him together right now. Oh, Jesus, we need your help. Oh, Jesus, we need your presence. Lord, let the power of your Spirit come into the heart and lives of each one. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. And do the work, God, to bring forth your power to show your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, I worship you, I glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, precious Lord, precious.
precious Lord, precious Lord. Yes, Lord.